Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I know it's 8:30, but you did miss a great time to, or you missed a great time to get excited right there. And so I know sometimes it takes a little longer for us to get awake. Thank you, Brother Daniel, Miss Becca, for that. What a joy to think about the Lord returning. And thank you so much for that. Well, we'll get into the Bible message, shall we? We're here at church. We don't want to do anything except get into the Scriptures. And so let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, if you find your place there, we'll look at the Gospel of Luke. While you're finding your place there, I did hear about this church that somebody called. Somebody that was loosely affiliated with the church said that he wanted to talk to the head hog at the trough. And the secretary said, if you're talking about the pastor, he said, you're going to have to address him as pastor or reverend or preacher or doctor or something of that nature. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, I was wanting to donate $20,000 to the building program there. And she said, wait a minute, I think I saw Porky just come in the door. So you got to love a secretary that will help you out like that. So, you know, you think about the Lord coming back. What a joy. Brother Daniel, Miss Becca, thank you for that. And I'm looking at a passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ is sending out the 70. Sends them out two by two. We're going to look at verse number 1 here, or verse 17 rather. And back in verse number 1, the Lord appointed other 70 and He sent them two by two before His face into every city. He was sending them out. And they're coming back after He sends them out two by two to spread out there. The disciples and some others have gathered around there. That's where we get our famous verse, verse number 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He would send forth laborers into His harvest. And gives them some strange instructions we'll get to in just a little bit. And in verses 3 down to about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere there. But we're going to get into now when they return and talk to the Lord Jesus. They've been sent out to do His will. He said, don't carry any script. Don't take any money with you. Kick the dust off your feet. If they don't want to have you, then just knock it off and go on. But now they're back. And they're returning to the Lord. And this is what they have to say in verse number 17. They're ecstatic. I mean, they're in today's vernacular, they'd say they're pumped. They're just happy about this. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, verse 17, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. They're coming back and they're excited that the devils are subject unto Him. And Jesus said, I'm going to do more than that. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning about this, what Jesus said to rejoice about. You understand, back in verse number 1, Jesus sends out the 70, two by two, and gives them some pretty tough commands in verse number 4. If you look there, He said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Verse number 8, sometimes preachers have a hard time, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. Sometimes preachers get invited to strange things. Like one old preacher said, we were on a missions trip, and he said that phrase, where he leads, I'll follow, and what he feeds, I'll swallow. That's what these guys were supposed to do. Eat what's set before you. Verse number 9, heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Verse number 11, He says, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. He said, if they don't want to hear, then just wipe the dust off and go on to somewhere that does. And Jesus sends those 70 on a great, great mission. And we see the origin of the mission in those verses, verse 1 down through. But then verse number 17, we see the success of it. So these guys come and they're just overjoyed. This is great. The devils are subject to us. The demons, the wickedness has gone on. You know, we get a glimpse of what was happening in Christ's day, the day that he was on walking the earth, about the demoniacs here and the maniacs and the different ones. And Jesus would oftentimes cast those demons out. Well, there were obviously others that were visible by people. And these disciples, as they go out, these 70 workers for Christ, they're ecstatic. So, wow, we even have power over these wicked forces. And they come back and are just overjoyed. But, as often happens when we get involved with it, they got excited about the things that Jesus wasn't too excited about. They got excited about the things that although Christ was, I suppose, happy for them in that regard. But he said, I saw Satan fall, as it were, lightning from heaven. And whether that's a reference to back when Satan fell out of heaven and rebelled against the Lord, or whether that was some of the work that Christ had seen the disciples do and the glory had come on them as they were out and about. But he said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. You see, Jesus Christ, he's the beginning, he's the end, he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's seen it all. And what those guys came, it would be about like you if you had a brand new, all decked out, thousands of dollars extra on a Harley Davidson, and then somebody came up with a little moped and said, look at what I got. You know, I mean, you might say, well, that's nice, but you don't want to bring up the fact that you've got $40,000 worth of chrome sitting right behind you in the garage. And Satan, as they talked about having power over the devils and the demons, and Jesus, as he talked back to them, told them what they ought to be excited about. I want to just tear this passage apart and trust that the Lord will bless us. I've had a heavy heart this week, and I believe that people that are sitting in front of me have as well. I told Amy the other night that with all that's going on in our nation, with, obviously the COVID-19, the crisis and pandemic that's there, but then also everything else that's happening in riots and protests and things that are just ungodly in nature, it's we have turned on our own selves in many places. Right now, we're not worried about an enemy coming from the outside. We're worried about the enemies that live right here within us and wreaking havoc against law and order. And so I believe there's just a cloud over everything. And the Lord just seemed to direct me this passage as I was getting ready this week and trying to think of what to preach and where to bring us. And as Jesus tells these disciples, these 70 that are going out, he says, oh, you're rejoicing over something that's not as important as what I want to remind you of. And I want to preach that this morning, what Jesus said to rejoice about. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Give us the next 15 minutes or so that you would speak to hearts in this room. Lord, I believe there are people on the brink of quitting. I'm not even sure what they're quitting. I mean, we can't quit on you necessarily, but I believe there's some people right here with me that are on the brink of giving it up. I believe there's some people on the brink of throwing in the towel. Lord, I pray that you would minister to them this morning. Lord, I certainly don't have it within me. If these people knew how feeble I were, they'd go somewhere else to hear something from someone else. But Lord, I pray that you would bless us now in your mighty power, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 17, we see that they had great victories. I get right into the message. They had great victories. Even the devils are subject unto us. In verse number 19, Jesus said, well, if you think that's something, you'll have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And they had great victories, though, as they came back. I think about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I think about the blessings that God has given us. And we sit in here and nobody's fanning, you know, like they used to do, those old funeral fans. And we've got the air on. And if it gets cold, we'll turn the heat on. And now, you get a crowd in the church, it'll never suffice for everybody, so don't get us wrong. You know, we can't be miracle workers here. But we've got great victories. Went to a church recently, and the pastor was showing me around, small country church, as it were. And I was excited because he was excited, but I wasn't excited for what I was seeing. Because it was subpar, and it was this, it was that, a lot of things in there that you would have thought, oh, this is unacceptable. You would have thought, this won't do. And I did too. I'm not putting you down. Just say we would have, because God's blessed us. God bless the church I pastored for 6 years in Ohio. God bless this church. And we've seen great victories of God. Where it's about like these disciples, the 70 that came back and said, well, we've seen so many things. And this church, well, we started off up on the hill. And then we've moved here. And we're all this church in Tennessee. And we're this. And with that, we've seen great victories. And as these people came back, they saw the great victories that had happened in there. Maybe like a kid that's 7 years old. Say, this is so exciting. You never guess what happened. And Jesus said, I've seen Satan fall from heaven. He said, I've seen all of it. I understand. But they're so excited and they're saying, Lord, you're never going to believe this. Can you believe? Can you imagine coming to tell the God of the universe, you're never going to believe this? Curtis Hudson used to say, it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He's just had all the information, all the knowledge. He's all knowing. Little church I grew up in, we needed a piano player. And so my sister started taking lessons. And I wasn't old enough at this point to go help it, thank the Lord. But my family, they went and got one of these big upright pianos, you know, that weigh about 3 ton. You got to make sure there's enough bracing on your floor of your house so that it doesn't fall through to the basement. You know the type. And so they went and got one of those, and Julie would play and play and play. And she's the piano player for their church now, and so I know she's a blessing. But back then, she was no blessing. In the next service, I'll tell the story again, and she'll probably be watching. And so I'm going to see her not too long from now, so I'm sure I'll get my head slapped a little bit. But she was no blessing in those early days. I don't even know if this is worldly or not, but she used to play the song The Entertainer. I don't know why, but that's the one she always played. Her teacher, and I may have just hummed something that's ungodly and wicked. If I did, you'll have to forgive me. But she'd play that song and play that around the house. And you know, that big old piano, you can't muffle it. Now you have the blessings of keyboard. She's got a keyboard up at my mom's house that you can turn it off or put headphones on or turn the volume way down. You don't hear anything. Oh, that if we'd have only had that back in the day. But you know, we're blessed. Have our piano player, that's the Miss Pearl Harp, but many of the others that play. And God's blessed the church. And these people, these 70 that were coming back, they had seen great victories. They said, wow, look at all that God, look at Jesus, you're never going to believe what happened. And they had great victories. But I want you to see at the end of verse number 17, in giving them their due, they did know where the power came from. Look at the end of the verse, if you will. Not only did they have great victories, but they also knew where the victories came from. Look at the end of the verse, the last phrase. And the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They knew where the power was coming. They knew where the authority was coming. And so not only did they have great victories, but they knew where the power came through thy name. These 70 came back and they knew that the devils were subject unto them. And every pastor that steps in the pulpit and every music director and every Sunday school teacher, every bus captain, everybody who does anything for the Lord would be wise, very wise, to understand that if you don't have God working in the midst of what's going on, you don't have anything. Or just stay home, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. My mamma used to tell a story about this. I don't think it was true. This young preacher came and preached. He was walking on the platform like a strutting like a turkey gobbler. He was excited about being up there and he thought he was something. But as he got up in there, the crowd, the little bit of crowd that there was, just got him all flustered and he messed up and he stuttered and he stammered and he missed his verses and he misquoted some other verses. And he got all bum-fuzzled, I guess, as one guy would say, with everything that was out there. And he was just so embarrassed, he couldn't wait to get to the end. Finally, the preacher that was the pastor of the church was coming to take over, and he was so glad to not be in the spotlight anymore that he just kind of slinked off of the other side like a dog that's been in trouble. Whether she should have done it or not, this little lady came up to him and said, if you would have went up the way you came down, then you could have went down the way you came up. And you understand that's about the way it is. We've got to understand, folks, we don't walk in our own power. The Bible says it's not within man that liveth to direct his own steps. You say, oh, I know what I'm doing. We don't know enough to get in out of the rain. Not without what the Lord works in your life. You know, there's about that much problem between me and somebody who has to be institutionalized, or that much difference, rather, between me and somebody who has to be institutionalized this morning. And I don't say that in a condescending way. I'm being serious. I mean, there's not enough difference in me or you and then somebody who has to be in an institution right now because they just can't function. Listen, folks, we're walking and having our being by the grace of God. It's a power of God. Let's not get on our conceited high horse and think that somehow we've gotten ourselves up to a position we're at. These disciples that were going out, these 70 there came out, they may have gotten excited about, they had the victories, they got excited about the wrong thing, but they did know whose name they were going in and whose name was causing these devils to tremble when they came in. Said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. And may Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church never get to a place where we think that any idea or program or new philosophy or new agenda or new literature or new branding or new this or new parking lot or new building or new anything. May we never get to a place where we think any of that matters. The thing that matters is the touch of God on a church. We're going to keep it right along the lines of your King James Bible. We're going to keep the services traditional. We're going to make it so that God is honored in everything that happens to the best of our abilities. And we will create new programs. And we will have new soul winning and visitation and discipleship. And we will have all these things. But listen, friend, make no mistake about it. Nothing that ever gets done or ever has been done has been the success of a church. What's been the success of a church is when God gets in it. And His blessing is upon it. And these disciples or these servants, as they came back, they knew where their power came from. If you've got good kids this morning, praise the Lord. Don't start telling me how you can also show somebody else how to raise good kids. Oh, if they ask, give them all kinds of instruction. Yes, do that. The older teach the younger. I'm with you on that. But don't get conceited and think, oh, we know how to do that. But by the grace of God, you're telling a horror story that somebody else is telling. If you've got a lot of money in here this morning, praise the Lord for it. And give some to us. But praise the Lord for it. Don't tell us how you can start a blog and tell everybody else how to earn some. If God grows Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we're going to shout the victory and say, God, as these 70 came back, we know that it's through thy name. And not through something that man had come up with. Though James 1 says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And all the success that they had, I want to take you to the last point and show you what Jesus said. They had great victories and they did know where the power came from. But in all of the things that happened, Jesus said, those victories pale. This is my last point if you're taking notes. Those victories pale in comparison to heaven. But rather what? Rather, instead of high-fiving each other about the devils being subject unto us, instead of writing in our memoirs how we saw great victories, but rather rejoice. Because your names are written in heaven. And I want to settle in for just the next few moments and tell you what you and I ought to be rejoicing about. There's a lot of pastors who get hung up on how big a church is. Well, COVID-19 kind of hamstrung a lot of those pastors. Because churches went from 200 down to nothing in about a week's time. Deacons get hung up sometimes on their position. Parents get proud of, wow, look at how successful our kids are. Spouses get arrogant about how, wow, we've made it through all the tough times. Friends, if God's given you successful kids, as I said, praise the Lord. If God's allowed you to stay together for 40, 50, 60 years, praise the Lord. If God allows this church to grow bigger than it has before, praise the Lord. But even if all those things and more happen, Jesus says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You know, our world is consumed right now with bloggers and consultants and life coaches and directors and folks that can tell you how to do your budget. They can tell you how to do your schedule. They can tell you how to do your menu. They can tell you how to do all these things. And for a small monthly fee, they'll help you get your life rearranged so that you don't even know yourself. And all that's fine. Many people buy gold for an investment so that they can help their financial status in the future be secure. But can I remind you on the heels of what Jesus said, rejoice not about all those things, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. If you want to know how to get your life coach to get, or how I can tell you what the best life coach is, that was Jesus Christ. He says you must be born again. You want to know how best to invest your gold or to get gold for investment is to make sure that your feet one of these days when you get a glorified body will be walking on the streets of gold. You want to know best how to which blogger to read after? It's the one that gave the eternal word of God and gave it to us for an eternally settled in heaven, but then gave it to us so we can read. My friend, I'm just telling all of these things. Rejoice for all that's happened. If you've got a new car, I want to see it after church. Praise the Lord for it. I'm not begrudging that. I want to get one soon, and I want to get another one after that. We want to get them bigger and better and blingier and all that. I don't really, but I'm just saying I'm happy for any of that stuff, but let's not rejoice that those things are happening more than we rejoice that our name is written in heaven. And so in coronavirus time, COVID-19, whatever you call it, a pandemic that's going on, and many times when people are having difficulties with jobs and security and all of these other things, my friend, if you're named by the name of Jesus Christ, blood bought, blood washed, born again, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, may you do what Jesus said and rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Amen. Friends, we've got reason to rejoice. I know that everything you turn on the news, to the blogs, to the websites, I know all of that is showing us pumping in negativity 24/7, and much of it's true. I'm not denying it. But if it stands to reason that Jesus doesn't even want the disciples to rejoice about those devils being subject unto him, rather rejoice, wouldn't it be the same when he would come, if they would have come and said, boy, it's bad out there. I think he would have also said, don't worry about those things. Rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. I'm blessed to pastor this church. I'm blessed to be able to preach out and do some couples retreats and teach on children and different things when God gives the opportunity in camps and things. I have a wonderful family and I've seen God do some great things, but none of those compare to what Jesus told me to rejoice about. The best thing about me, your pastor, the best thing that you can say about me, I'm saved. Bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. My name is written in heaven. I'm afraid we've become like those disciples. As our friend David Gibbs said, I believe I'm afraid that we've got to a place where we enjoy the blessings of God more than we enjoy the blesser who is God. I'm afraid that we've judged our spiritual walk by how successful our portfolio is right now. I'm afraid that we've mistaken or we've miscounted and we regard how much is in a person's bank account, or at least what it looks like and through their cars and houses and things. I'm afraid we've overinflated the importance of that, and we've underinflated the importance of a walk with God. So today, whether you're up or down, if you looked at your stock report today and it was a depressing thing, if your name's written in heaven, rejoice. If you looked at your stock report today, if you've got one, and it's up today, that's good, but don't rejoice too much about that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Today, whether up or down, whether you're the disciples that were coming back and saying, well, you're not going to believe this. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus gives a little reprimand there, says, don't be so excited about that. Rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And this morning, with all that's going on in our world, with everything that's coming, weighing down on you right now, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. If you're saved this morning, you've got enough. You may not do it. Your personality and temperament might not allow you to do it. But if you're saved this morning, you've got enough going for you to take this aisle and skip all the way out to your car and get in your car and sing Jesus Saves all the way to your house and don't need to eat a meal today because you'd be more, you've got feeding on the goodness of God more than you need to feed on food. Rejoice. Are you saved? If you're in this room this morning, maybe you've been so low this week that you could have dragging your bottom lip because of circumstances keep hammering you. I've come to tell you, rejoice. Because your name, if you're saved, is written in heaven. Maybe you've been on the other side. You've been walking on cloud nine. Can I tell you, just the opposite of the other person? Thank the Lord for all that. I'm not saying that you minimize that. I'm saying rejoice rather. Make sure you rejoice more. Be excited more about your heavenly home than you are about your performance of a stock, about your new house or new whatever. Rejoice and praise the Lord for all of that. You know God gives us richly all things to enjoy. We don't have to be wicked somebodies who say, oh, I can't enjoy this, the goodness that God's given. It's God. If He gives you something new, enjoy it. Rejoice and praise Him for it. But rather, over top of that, don't ever let your happiness, your joy, your contentment, your fulfillment be tied to the things of this world. Rather, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. If you're here this morning, you're saved. You and I have a great treasure. Oh, friend, listen. We could gather together and never have any other message than just praise the Lord, we're saved. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to pray for my own sins. Praise the Lord that I'm not going where I deserve to go. We could meet and have no other message except that, and we would have plenty to meet about for the next 25 years and longer. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And if you're here this morning, you're saved. I've come to tell you what Jesus said. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And if you're here with us this morning and you're not saved, no wonder your life has been going crazy. No wonder your mind hasn't been able to be consistent. You, my friend, need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can rejoice like He told these 70 to do. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? And I just want you to have a little bit of time with the Lord today.